Thank you for joining us here today at Calvary Church, where we are committed to loving God and loving people. If you have any questions or want to learn more about who we are, visit us online at calvary.ca. Now let's check out this week's message from our lead pastor, Steve McDonald.
You know, the battles we face this year in our nation and around the world have not just been about politics, have not just been about racism or even a crisis of health. This has been an all-out spiritual attack. And that battle that we're in is not flesh and blood. It's not people against people, although sometimes it really seems that way as one group rises up against another and many people from the fringe get pulled into something they didn't even know they cared about. Suddenly, there's people angry and upset with one another. But listen, make no mistake about it. Even though you see those things and even sometimes experience those things, it is a spiritual war. And so you need to armor up. You need to protect yourself and guard yourself against the realities of that. But today I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to be the people of God, to be God's church, to be the solution that Christ designed the church to be. This world, more than ever before, needs Christ in you, wherever you are, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your church. In the midst of everything that we're facing, the church is needed now more than ever before. So, you know what? Let's stay focused. Let's stay focused on gathering together on purpose, whether it's on site, whether it's online. Let's be committed to be the church more than ever before as we gather together through every means possible. Let's not forget who God has called us to be as a church. You know, last week I saw an incredible video, incredibly inspiring. It was a video of an elderly lady who was now well retired and fighting and dealing with Alzheimer's. She used to be a professional ballerina. And so in this particular video, someone off camera puts headphones over her ears and they play the musical score for Swan Lake. Now, this was a dance that she had done many, many times, that she had memorized and rehearsed and performed. And there she was, kind of hunched over in her wheelchair, looked like the life had left her body. Even her arms were kind of in an awkward position. But suddenly, as that music played in her ears, it was like life began to return to her body as she remembered, her mind locked into that music. And suddenly her arms began to gracefully move and to follow through with the movements. And then they did a split screen of when she was a young lady performing that ballet. And every move that she danced as a young girl, now as a woman long aged in years and dealing with a disease, was remembering it all. Listen to me. The church, as we begin to find ourselves in the Word of God, the church is remembering who it is. It seems like it's been almost an extended March break that has never ended. But the church is waking up. The church is remembering what it's called to be. We need to never lose sight of what God has called us to do and who God has called us to be. Let's keep our confidence in the Lord. Let's keep our confidence in His ability to see us through whatever we will face. Our series text is found in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, and it says, "Some people have gotten out of the habit of meeting for worship." That good habit in our lives of gathering together, it's been interrupted. It's been interrupted by everything that we've faced since the beginning of the year. But Scripture goes on to say, but we must not do that. Let's not get out of that habit. We should keep encouraging each other. And another translation of the same Scripture says to encourage one another even more now than we did before. And so as engaged as you were, as called as you were, as living a life full of purpose as you once were in encouraging and ministering and serving other people, the Scripture is telling us that now, even with the challenges we face, to continue to do that even more than ever before, especially since you know that the day of the Lord and His coming is getting closer. You know, like many of you, I found myself in another line last week. You know, people these days are lining up to get into restaurants, lining up to get in grocery stores, lining up to go to the bank, get marks on the pavement where you need to stand. And so here I was in a store, lined up with a group of people waiting to be served. And so this store was clearly doing their level best to keep everybody socially distanced, trying to follow all the guidelines that the province has laid out to help flatten the curve, these ever-changing guidelines. You could tell that they were trying to do their best to keep up. We're all living that mask on, mask off life right now. And you know what? We understand. We get it. We understand why, but it still bugs us. It's frustrating. I don't know about you, but we just get to a point where we're sick of it. We're tired of it. And so people's nerves are a little frayed. People are feeling a little bit more sensitive than maybe they used to. And so the guy in front of me, he's just like sighing and grumbling. And it's getting louder. Oh, come on. Like, you could hear him. He wanted to make sure that the person that was waiting to let him in the door knew that he was not happy. And so he moved ahead a little bit, and so I moved ahead a little bit, like we do, right? Giving everybody space. But then the little lady behind the counter with a very big attitude said to me, "Sir, excuse me, could you please step back? Could you please step back?" And so I felt like I was being called out and sent to the principal's office in that moment. I'm like, "Yeah, okay, that's fine." Now, the truth is, she probably was saying it more like, "Sir, could you please step back?" But right now, today, we don't hear it that way. We hear it as, "Sir, could you please step back?" It's just human nature. We feel annoyed that somebody's telling us what to do, as simple as standing in a line, that somehow we're not doing it right. So the attendant that was at the door that was stopping people from going in and releasing people from the store would wait as some people would leave, and he would let other people come in. And so one guy seemed to jump the line, didn't realize we were lined up, and he was heading right in, and the guy stopped him and once again started explaining all the guidelines. Well, this was more than the guy in front of me could take. He had had it. And he yelled out, "People, oh, this is unbelievable. People are incredible." As if people were somehow his greatest obstacle in life. And yet it's people and God's love for people that brings us to where we are today, that brings the story of the gospel to life. People. You know, I believe that the most loving thing we can do for people is actually to love God more than we love them. Because if we love God most, then we will love others best. And there's a reason why Jesus said the second command that he gave is like the first. That if we love God with all our heart, as Matthew 22, 37 to 39 says, that we will love our neighbor as ourselves. It operates like faith and works does. If we truly have the first, then the second naturally follows. But if God is not the love of your life, if we are, if you are, if your concerns are elevated above what God has called us to do, then there's no way that we can truly love other people the way that we love ourselves. Now, the reason why we will love others best when we love God most is that love in its truest, purest form only comes from one place. It comes from God, because God is love. 1 John 4, verse 7 says, "Let us love one another, for love comes from God." That's where it originates. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. So love isn't just something that God does. Love is who he is. It's a fundamental part of his very nature. We're only able to love him and anyone else because, why? Because he first loved us. Sometimes I wish the second great commandment was more of a great suggestion. Instead of having to love God and love people, why couldn't it be just love God and have a general like for people? Especially when they're saying, sir, could you please step back? Could you back up? That's what we hear in our head, and the last thing we feel in our mind is love for people like that. We're not having that emotion in that moment. And yet Scripture challenges us at every turn to not love with our own strength, but to allow the love of God to flow through us. The truth is, we're only able to freely love or give love to others because we've already received that love ourselves first. You know, Genesis 1:26 says that you and I, we're image bearers. We reflect the Creator's creation. We are the creation. He is the Creator. We reflect him. Let us make man in our image, Scripture says. And so, as image bearers, we're designed to love God and others the same way that Jesus loved the Father and loved other people. God is our supreme love. But when we become the focus, when we become the supreme love instead of God, love becomes distorted. It becomes infected. Love devolves into whatever we want it to mean. And the truth is, we live in a world today where people have chosen to love in a way that is right in their own eyes. And likewise, they've chosen to hate in a way that is right in their own eyes. So it's not hard to understand why there's so much confusion, why there's so much conflict, so many people with a broken heart, why there's so much violence. It's not hard to understand why that happens. You see, in the broader community, we live in the anarchy of love that results in the tragedy that fills our daily news feed. But God, the author and perfecter of love, love himself, stepped into our evil and anarchy to redeem us, to make us his people, the church, and to give us new life, to fill us with hope, to transform us back into the children of God who are able to love him supremely and to love each other the way that we were supposed to, the way he loved us. And so how did he love us? Well, with the greatest love there is, the kind of love that moves someone to lay down his or her life for a friend. Jesus was a radical. Even in his day before he was crucified, he interacted with people all the time, and everybody had an agenda. Everybody had a question that they wanted to ask the great teacher. And in all of those moments, he had a way of cutting very quickly to the root of the issue that they seemed to be bringing to the moment. And when the Pharisees tried to catch him off guard, they were always trying to ask him questions that would catch him in his words. His response revealed their root problem. You see, they were always majoring on the minors, and they were willing to go to great lengths to observe the letter of the law, but completely miss the spirit of it. So in Matthew 22, again in verses 37 to 39, Jesus uses this moment to leave them with something that they would be talking about for years to come, something that we would be still talking about today. And so in his response about what the greatest command was, he brilliantly in the moment splices two passages from the Torah together, one from Deuteronomy, one from Leviticus. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, you shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart, with your whole soul, and with your whole mind. And then Matthew says that this is the first and the greatest commandment. And then it goes on to say that the second is like it. And then he pulls from Leviticus 19:18. It says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. See, this kind of wholehearted love that Jesus is talking about is agape love, which means loving God for his own sake and all others for his sake. And not doing so by human strength, by our own efforts, but with the divine love that's poured into our hearts, as Romans 5 says, by the Holy Spirit. So when we love others with agape, we love God through them. Our every loving act towards them becomes an expression, our expression, in our love towards God. And so these two great truths of loving God and loving people become the two sides to the coin. Because if we truly love God, then we will truly love what he loves. Now, if you've ever found yourself saying things and pronouncing your great love for God, but just you can't stand people, then you got some issues. You got some things that you need to work on. You see, you can't say, I love God with my whole heart, but I just can't stand being around these people. My family drives me crazy. Church drives me crazy. My boss drives me crazy. If I could just be alone with God, he's saying, listen, if you love me, you will love what I love. You will love my people. And if that's you, then sometimes you just need to slow down, maybe go to the Lord in prayer and realign your thinking. Because you may be trying to do that in your own strength instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to love others through you. I guarantee you, if you try to accomplish it in your own strength, you will become incredibly frustrated. You will want to quit because it's impossible. It's impossible to do without the love of God. So then as we come closer in our love to God and stop striving, he helps us to come closer in our love for other people. We begin to reflect his nature. He increases, we decrease. So in loving him most, we can love them best. And in 1 John 4, the connection of Scripture in this regard is very explicit and a little harsh, to be honest. 1 John 4, 19 to 21 says, we love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates his brother or sister is a liar. A liar. That's hard to believe. Scripture is being that harsh, but the Scripture is saying that we are a liar if we say we love him, but I hate him. Can't do that. The two don't walk together. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command that anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. So, loving God empowers us to love other people. Again, if we love God most, we will love others best. How we love others, especially other Christ followers, reveals how we love God. And our love for each other is an indicator of the place that God holds in our heart. He's the master of designing things this way. Our faith is revealed by our works. Our creeds are revealed by our deeds. And our love for him is revealed by our love for others. You see, he makes it very hard for us to fake it. But what does all this look like? What does the face of others look like? Those that Jesus commands us to love best. What do their faces look like? Well, the first face that Scripture kind of illuminates for us is our neighbor. So loving your neighbor best, how do we do that? You see, your neighbor is the others that Scripture often refers to. It's really anyone. Could be the sponsored child that you love and send money to every month all the way around the world. Or it could be your actual next-door neighbor. You know, this month, it's hard to believe we're pushing and preparing for Christmas. Those that are on site are seeing some of the decorations go up as we are filming for things that are happening in advance. And it's very exciting. But one of the things that we're doing as a church to love others, to love our neighbor, even those that we don't know, is through our Christmas Spirit program that we had last year. This allows us for $25 to sponsor a child through our missionaries around the world so that these children can experience the gospel. They can be fed. They can get a gift. They can have a Christmas party. And you can be a part of that. That's a way that you can be involved. Another way that you can love your neighbor in the context of people that you may not know but have great needs is through our Adopt-A-School program as we partner with the City Dream Center. Many churches are adopting public schools in the area to help with needy families that are struggling at this time of the year. So through your donations, through your service, as you help pack food hampers or deliver them, you can be a part of making a difference in a family's life this Christmas. Or you could serve with Night Shift. We've partnered with Night Shift for many years as we love and serve our street friends in the Wally community. You could be a part of preparing the food or serving the food. These are practical ways of showing your love to the people around you. As a matter of fact, you can show your love wherever there's a need. Because I think right now, in the day that we're living, with all that we're facing right now, we all have some type of a need at some level. We all need encouragement, right? We need affirmation. We need attention. We need love. So pick up the phone. Call somebody. You say, well, Pastor Steve, I'm not quite ready to get out there. Okay, that's fine. Pick up the phone. When you think of somebody, it's usually the Holy Spirit bringing those people to your attention. Give them a call. Ask them how they're doing. Tell them how much you miss them. Pray for them. Text them. Do the things that you can do in this season to still be active as the church and remember what it is that God has called us to do. Number two, loving your family best. That's the second face of who we're to love, those that are closest to us. I believe everything starts from home. Whether it's healthy or unhealthy, it begins there. And part of learning to love your family is creating a balance, is leading your children in understanding the importance of what church community is all about. Not just talking to them about the love of God, but modeling it for your children. Doing things, even as we go into this time of the year, that shows your heart for other people. See, it's not enough to just say those words. We need to be an example of what that looks like. And our children need to move from a we an I-centered existence to a we-centered existence. What does it look like to be a part of a team or a community of faith? These are the things that help our families grow. And as disciples, grow spiritually, which is so key and so important. The third face that Jesus tells us to love best is loving your friends best. You see, friends are the family that you choose. You don't choose your family. Sometimes you end up, especially at Christmas time and Thanksgiving, with people around the table that maybe you wish you could choose. But you got them. They're your family. But your friends are the ones that you are involved with choosing. The people that you do life with. The people in your church that you attend a small group with, whether you're online or in person. These are the people that we need to find ways to love in creative ways. You know, when I see all the faces on our social media or in some of the videos that you see on our broadcast, of all the faces of Team Calvary, man, I am so grateful. I am moved inside to really express my thankfulness to God for those of you that continue to serve and to love so well, even in the hour that we're living. And we need you more than ever before to continue to shine, to continue to allow the love of God to shine through you. Now, the last face of those that we're called to love is not an easy one. It's one, actually, that we'd probably rather turn away from. It's loving your enemies best. Again, perhaps the hardest of all is loving those who don't love us back, who maybe even do things to say or act in a way that will hurt us. And so you need to protect yourself. You need to rely on the strength of others in these scenarios. But there are still, in our lives, moments when we need to show love to those that don't show it to us. Loving people is not easy. But that's when it goes from becoming a feeling, something that I want to do or don't want to do, to being a Christ-like action that I step out and model. In fact, John's gospel says it this way when it comes to how people will recognize us as the church in the day that we're living in. In John 13:35, he says, "By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." You know, we can speak life not only through our words, but the way that we live, the way that we act. So I want to encourage you this week to look for opportunities to serve the people around you. It doesn't have to be something huge. You might even say, well, we're restricted in what we could do. Listen, be creative. Find ways to call, to drop things off, to know that as difficult as the challenges we're facing are right now, for those of us that maybe have a support, there are people that are alone right now that don't have anybody to rely on, but they have you. We as the church are called to be that strength to one another. We're still the church. You know what? Again, it doesn't have to be something big, just an act to express that love, the love of Jesus. Make something for somebody, buy somebody a coffee, send them a text, do whatever you have to do to continue to be engaged. And now when we put our trust in him, we're transformed so that as we imitate Christ, we walk in this pattern of his love. John 13:34-35, the extended verses that go with the one I just read, says, "A new command I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." He says it three times in two verses, in case you missed it the first time. That's how important it is when you hear scripture, when you see the repetition of Jesus' words. It's him highlighting something for you to understand the gravity and its importance. And since the greatest and second greatest commandments are involved in these things, we know, we understand the great value that God has for them. So listen, perhaps the best thing that we can do today is to take an honest, lingering look at the way that we love other people. Because if we love God most, we can love others best. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for your words. I pray that as we hear them, that Holy Spirit, you would stir everyone who hears your word, that we as a church would wake up to the responsibility, to the call that's upon us, even in a day like the one we're living in, to do even more than we did before in how we love others. That as we love you most, as we put you at the top of our priorities, that we can love others best, that we can do it the way we were meant to do it, and that you, oh God, would flow in and through our lives. Today, if you're watching or if you're here in the building and you need to experience that love for the first time, I'd love to pray for you. All you need to do is click on that virtual hand if you're watching online, or raise your hand if you're here in the building. And today we want to pray for you. If you would say, "Pastor Steve, pray for me. I need to experience God's love. I don't know that I've ever known that in a personal way." If that's you today, pray this simple prayer with me, and your life and the trajectory that you're headed is completely changed. Pray this simple prayer: "Lord Jesus, I recognize that you died on a cross for me, for the forgiveness of my sins. I thank you today for forgiving me. Come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior, and fill me with the hope of heaven and the love of God, that as I love you first, that I would love other people in the best way possible. In Jesus' name we pray, amen." Amen. I love you, Calvary. God bless you all. Have an amazing week. God's best to you, and we'll see you again next Sunday.